You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU. I'm News Director Jonathan Reeves. We're joining me right now is U.S. Senator John Bozeman for our regular congressional interview segment that we have. Senator Bozeman, good morning. Thank you for joining us here on KASU.
Hey, Jonathan. Thank you so much for having me, as always.
Appreciate your time this morning. Let's talk about the Jonesboro tornado. I know that President Trump has approved a federal disaster declaration for Jonesboro after that tornado that ripped through the city. Tell us about how the declaration can help those who are affected by the tornado.
Well, this allows, you know, certainly a lot more federal intervention. We're really excited about that. We've been talking to the mayor and other folks, people like the people that run the airport, which was devastated, as you know, and talking to the FAA. So there's, because of the extent of damage, the dollar figure related to that, a number of different programs will be able to kick in and provide additional relief that normally wouldn't be the case.
Now, I know the Federal Emergency Management Agencies told individuals affected by the tornado that they could not get assistance. Apparently, the damage was not where it would meet the threshold. Some people lost their homes. You may know over 100 people's homes were totally destroyed. What can those citizens do to be able to get some help and assistance?
Well, you know, that was just announced, and so, again, we'll be working with the mayor and others and really seeing if there's anything we can do, you know, if we can maybe look and see if, make sure that we didn't leave out any damage or this or that. It was such a terrible situation. So we will be working with the community to try and see if there's anything that we can do to see if we can get additional relief.
Let's talk about COVID-19. I'm just curious about how over the past, you know, months or two since this started, how has it affected you? Has it affected you? Have you been doing a lot more stuff from home? Have you been able to get to Washington, those kinds of things?
Well, yes and no. You know, I'm in Washington now, and was in Arkansas for several weeks. I think one thing that's come about, Jonathan, is that we didn't really realize, how effective you could be using all of the teleservices that we have available now. That's you know, this is such a tragedy, such a difficult thing. There's going to be some good things that come out of this, and I think the ability to use those kind of resources are going to be used a lot more in the future, and then also telemedicine, things like that. So I spent literally weeks on the phone visiting with all kinds of individuals and organizations, trying to understand better how it was affecting them so that as legislation comes forward that we can be as effective as we can in providing solutions. So it's affected significantly in that way, and I think all of us, even being in Washington, have minimal staff here. You can walk down the center of any major, and you've been here, Jonathan, you know, on occasion, and the idea of being able to walk down these major thoroughfares in the middle of the street and not being worried about getting run over is just unimaginable. It's like a ghost town. So it's affected us all dramatically, and I think the good news, though, is that we are seeing signs of turning the corner, but it is a very difficult situation.
One question that a lot of people have been asking about this, I want to get your perspective on this, is as people are trying to go back to work, as we balance that opening up America, how do we make that balance? What is your thought on this, about way of balancing opening up America with trying to slow the spread of COVID-19?
Well, it is a balance, and I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all. Various states have been affected in different ways. New York, I think because of the congestion, the fact that people live so close together, just a variety of different reasons, has been affected greatly. California in the same way. Arkansas has been blessed in the sense of, I think, through people using common sense with the social distancing and things like that, we simply haven't, and again, not having the major cities like so many other states, we've been blessed. So I think the rules apply differently, And I know I had the opportunity of meeting with Dr. Collins earlier in the week, the head of NIH, who's this, you know, just this wonderful person that's so well respected. And that was his message, in the sense that certainly we need to move forward. It's really amazing. We went, in a month's time, we went to having the one of the best economies that the country's ever had, 50-year low unemployment, to now the highest unemployment, like I say, just a month, in a month's time, the highest unemployment since World War II. So it's really been devastating in that regard. In the past, the enemy has been high oil prices, inflation, things like that. Now it's the virus. And so we are starting to turn the corner in many of our states, starting to reopen a little bit. So those are, I think, are very, very positive things.
U.S. Senator John Bozeman joining us here on KASU. Kind of piggybacking off what you said about the economy, are there some parts of the economy where this is going to be harm that just cannot be repaired?
Well, yes and no. I think it's difficult to find any part of the economy that hasn't been harmed. If you look at our farm community, which is so important in your area, so important for Arkansas, it's 25% of our economy. They've been devastated. And a lot of that is the supply chain. No one realized how much farmers were dependent on the supply chain going to restaurants as opposed to the supermarkets. You take so many of our products, more than 50% were actually consumed by restaurants, and it hasn't been able to convert over to grocery stores in the same manner. You look at our hospitals, you think, everybody's sick. Well, everybody's not sick, but the inability to do elective procedures, people being concerned about going to the doctor, all of that has suffered greatly in a surprising way. Our retail shops have been devastated, restaurants, hotels, car dealerships, community newspapers, community broadcasters, our local radio stations, all of these things, you name it, and they really have suffered greatly.
So let's talk about stimulus money that I know that you've been working on and others have been working on. I know there's already been a couple of rounds of stimulus aid that has been dispersed out. I think there's more that's probably coming in the future. What are you working on right now? What's the Senate working on in relation to future aid?
Well, I think this I differ a little bit, Jonathan, since this really isn't stimulus. This is survival. And so many of our businesses now are teetering. And you mentioned earlier, my concern is that perhaps a business that, was working hard, doing okay, maybe won't be able to bounce back. And so what we're trying to do is do all we can to provide resources so that people continue to have jobs, and then we'll have a business to go back to once this is over, if they were laid off or temporarily fired or whatever. So one of the things I've really been focusing on, in fact, I was with a few other senators visiting with the president and Secretary Mnuchin, the head of Treasury, earlier in the week, was we've given a lot of money to the states, $150 billion, and they have that in their accounts now. The problem is the rules were so restrictive with what they could spend it on, it was difficult for them to actually access that money. So Secretary Mnuchin is we've been able to work with him to ease that up. We'd like to ease that up even further. And then that way, that gives the Governor Hutchison, who I think has done a tremendous job throughout this whole crisis, but that would give him further ability to use those funds to help in areas that he knows the best. In this sense, our governors, this can't be a one-size-fits-all. Our governors really are in a much better position than Washington to know how some of these dollars need to be spent. So we're trying to further do away with some of the restrictions that handcuff them in that regard.
How many more rounds of aid do you see coming possibly in the future?
I really don't know. What we're trying to do now is in fact, in visiting with the Secretary of the Treasury earlier this week, I said, look, you know, how much of this money has been spent? And he started naming, and then, you know, we got through, and I said, well, the reality then is much of this money simply has not gone out the door. And even the money that's gone to various things, I think I'll give you an example of the child care. They received $42 million in Arkansas earlier. That still has not gone out the door, not because of anybody dragging their feet, but you want to do these things in a thoughtful way. The $150 billion, the vast majority of that in the States simply hasn't been spent yet. So what we're trying to do is get an accounting of what's out there, and then again, what we need to do in the future. Right now, we've been blessed. Democrats and Republicans have been working together. The bills that we passed in the Senate have been, you know, we've had unanimous votes, which is remarkable. And then almost the same thing in the House. So these are good things. We're going to be working together to try and see where we need to provide further relief, not stimulus at this point, but again, just trying to help so many businesses, so many individuals that are in such a tough situation, help them survive this.
Now, you were talking about, by the way, we're talking to U.S. Senator John Bozeman on KASU. You were talking about media broadcasters and that. You've actually sponsored mm-hmm. some legislation to be able to help help broadcasters and those in the media. Kind of tell us a bit about that, if you don't mind, please.
Well, this is actually allows them to be part of the PPP program in a greater way and just provide them some resources. Our community broadcasters are so important, whether it's print, whether it's radio or television, in the sense that you know, not only do they provide the service of the news, but knowing what's going on in the community, and then too, they're like the banks. You know, they are very community oriented and do so much, you know, in so many different ways that just helps bind our communities together. They've had such a tough time over the last 10 years because of the change in technology, the way that we get our news. And so, you know, they go into this round of dealing with the virus in a weakened position to begin with, in many cases. And so as a result, it really has affected them very, very negatively. So what we're trying to do is say, hey, you know, let's not forget them. You know, they're and we also forget, you know, for the most part, these are small businesses. Let's not forget them and make sure that they have the resources to continue to operate now, but also have the strength to continue once this is over.
One thing I was going to ask you about is there's a lot of people who fear that additional waves are coming in the future, especially in the fall and the winter. What do you see as the government's response to this if we have future waves of COVID-19?
Well, I just don't think we know yet, you know, what's going to occur. We need to be agile. Again, in talking to Dr. Collins, they are really ramping up on the testing, both letting you know, if you have the virus at that point or if you've already had it, which I think most people feel like will give you some level of immunity. We don't really know exactly what that accounts for, but it, you know, generally, almost always, that's been the case in the past. So we need to be able to provide the protective equipment that is needed. We've ramped up on that tremendously. So at some point, we'll have an abundance. I was talking to the child care people. You know, child care is going to be one of the critical things that has to be in place before we can open up fully, especially with the schools being closed and things like that. But they need personal protective gear. They need the hand sanitizers, all of these basic things. So we've geared up. I think we will be ready for it. And then the other thing, Jonathan, that's so important is we need to protect the vulnerable. We need to protect the people that are at high risk, the people that are over 65 and have other conditions, high blood pressure, heart disease, things like that, that for some reason make people a lot more susceptible to this disease than others.
And now even children, too, could be part of that vulnerable population as well.
Well, they're affected, you know, certainly not in the numbers. When you look at the mortality rate, it's very high, skewed towards the 65 and over. But no, this is a strange disease, and it has the ability to mutate and things like that. So it's something that every level we need to be vigilant, and we need to use common sense. You know, we do need to stand our distance away from people when we're in crowds. We need to wear the mask and things like that. And it's funny, your mask now just seems that, you know, at times, like, just, you know, you get up, you put your tie on, you go to work or whatever, you know, you put on whatever gear you need and get your billfold and get your mask. So I think that's the kind of thinking that we have to do. And the purpose of that is it protects yourself. But more importantly, we have to think of others. And I know that Arkansans, they're concerned about themselves, but I know that they don't want to put in jeopardy somebody that is in this high-risk group, that this might, be such that it they develop a very, very serious problem.
You made reference to Governor Hutchinson and what he's been doing. He stated during a press conference yesterday that as all of this money and aid has been necessary to help people, he was really worried about the toll that it's taking on the national debt, which stands this morning at $25 trillion. Your thoughts on his concerns about the national debt?
Well, I think we're all concerned about it. And yet, as I said earlier, the situation we've been in is every member of the Senate has voted for the spending bills, almost every member in the House. We're in a situation that's uncharted. You have to go back to World War II to have anything remotely. But the idea of not only our economy being shut down, Jonathan, and as I said, you know, to go from the best unemployment numbers in 50 years to depression era numbers, and we're at that point now in the span of 4 to 6 weeks is truly amazing. So because of that, we wanted to stabilize things as best we could. Yesterday, the head of the Federal Reserve testified. He is very concerned also in the sense of he's concerned about spending money, but he's also concerned about not spending money in the sense of trying to stabilize, making such that we have the infrastructure that remains in place so we don't lose so many of these businesses that are teetering on the brink. So we're playing it by ear. We're trying to use the best scientific advice that we can, and we're trying to also use the best economic advice that we can get. Our municipalities, our towns, they're suffering in the sense that you've got so many people that are staying home. They're using utilities and things like that. The cities have said, well, don't worry about it. You know, if you can't pay, you can't pay. Businesses aren't using the utilities. But the communities still have the bills for all of those. And so they have no cash flow. They can't borrow money. And so that's an area where I think this $1.25 billion that was given to the state, I think that's an area where perhaps we can help just kind of prop everybody up to get us by until the economy opens back up.
U.S. Senator John Bozeman, we've run out of time, but thank you so much for your time today. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and we very much appreciate you and your show.